We've got that skinny budget now out for a couple of days. Fat or skinny, depending on which agency you work for, that is. And we've got an executive order to find efficiencies throughout the government. Plus, there's still a hiring freeze on, porous as it may be. So how should federal executives deal with this mix? For some analysis, we turn to David Lewis, professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. Professor Lewis, good to have you back.
Thanks. Glad to be with you.
So there is an interesting mix of things that federal managers need to deal with here. How do you deal with all that at once?
It's difficult. I think the first thing you have to exercise is a little bit of patience. I think it looks like the president's management agenda is being rolled out in pieces. And so I think we're all kind of learning as we go. So we've got this order to find efficiencies and remove duplication and overlap and suggest programs for termination. We've got a budget that makes some suggestions about how agencies are supposed to get there. I expect we're also going to see some initiatives on civil service reform and probably something on performance management coming as well. And so it's a pretty turbulent environment, I think. So it's going to require some juggling on the part of federal executives.
In reading through that about 50-page document that came out Thursday morning, the so-called skinny budget, there were a lot of mentions of duplicative programs and why they were being zeroed out for that reason, and also on programs that I think it stated in numerous cases have not shown hard evidence that they are effective or delivering on their missions. Those seem to be the big clues, I guess, to how they're going to approach management.
I think that those are certainly clues. I guess I think there's always an assumption coming in by new administrations that there's a lot of duplication, waste, and overlap that can be eliminated. I think those of us that follow this pretty closely recognize that GAO comes out with this report pretty regularly that identifies particular programs that could be consolidated and so forth. I guess what's a little bit more surprising is the emphasis on programs that can't demonstrate results. And I think, as many of us understand, there are some things that government does that are just hard to measure. There's not a sort of profit or loss or price to earnings ratio. Sometimes it's hard to tell whether government programs are contributing to the overall mission, or at least it's hard to show with hard data. And you want to be careful not to cut things that are effective just because it's hard to sort of numerically see changes in outcomes. Obviously, there are some places where you might cut just because a program is ineffective, but sometimes it's hard to disentangle the truly ineffective from those that are just hard to prove that they're effective.
And on that executive order, I mean, how likely do you think federal managers are to voluntarily serve up programs or whole agencies and say, yeah, we can cut this one or get rid of my agency?
Well, I think it's, in most cases, a difficult thing for managers to do, to say, you know, take my agency, please, or take my program, please. And more than that, it's hard for members of Congress with jurisdiction over those agencies to say the same kinds of things. There are probably a few cases where programs have been lodged in agencies that never were a particularly good fit, where agency leaders may be willing to say, hey, you know, this doesn't really fit with our mission, and actually it might clarify some of our goals and our overall ambition if this wasn't really part of what we were doing on a day-to-day basis. But I think those are the exception rather than the rule.
Now, the budget for 2018, as we've seen, does have some pretty drastic cuts proposed, and of course the opposite for military. But the executive order on duplication and efficiency has a year's timeline on it. So it sounds like there could be more in 2019 for that budget submission based on what that executive order produces.
I think that could be right. To be honest, it's a little bit difficult to divine from the order itself what the president's intentions are and timeline. I think the order came out first, and it was supposed to be issued in February, and they delayed it, and then they finally issued it. And the order effectively says, go prepare me a report about how to organize government better. And then the budget comes out shortly after that, which makes specific recommendations about programs and agencies that the administration wants to cut. And so it's a little bit confusing to try to sort of discern whether the president is looking for additional things other than things he's already got an opinion about, or how these things are supposed to fit together.
We're speaking with David Lewis, professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. And you mentioned the GAO's annual or biannual list of duplicate federal programs. That seems like a good starting point for a lot of this. And I wonder, do you feel that could be a basis for the administration and Congress to talk about where waste can really cut, since GAO is the creature of Congress?
I think so. I think that, GAO does a lot of important work in doing that kind of research. I think it's also the case that agency executives that are running programs and offices on a regular basis also have some pretty good ideas about how to improve performance in their agencies, but the constraints are often imposed on them by Congress or by the administration itself. And so maybe this gives them an opportunity to say, hey, we're constrained by law to do X, but maybe we really ought not to do X and that we could do something different. And so the GAO reports and the existing reports prepared for the transition teams by the agencies might be a good place to look for some ideas to do this kind of reorganization.
And as you point out, the reorganization could get to the point where Congress would have to act because of the legal, not just jurisdictional disputes, but also what's in law already.
I think that's right. I think, you know, the reason why duplication and overlap often exists is that Congress or a committee in Congress identifies a particular problem at a particular point in time and creates a new program. And when they do that, they aren't always thinking holistically about what already exists in government and how everything fits together. Sometimes it's easier just to get a program created. So a lot of the duplication and overlap that exists is there because of design imposed on agencies from outside rather than from the inside. And so the solutions then also require a legislative remedy as opposed to something administrative.
Now, these types of executive orders come from, as you pointed out, every president comes in and sees waste and duplication and inefficiency. What is the long-term effect of these? Do they leave something good behind, or do they mostly never scour and just fade away?
Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to tell, Tom, because while presidents often come in with a specific management agenda, it's not always executed through something as big and visible as an executive order. Oftentimes, what presidents do is, during the transition period with the transition teams, they prepare plans for how they want to rework or reorganize agencies in ways that are kind of less visible and less public, but still effective. Doing it this way, in kind of a big, dramatic way, with an executive order with big symbolic value, is a little bit different than the way other presidents have gone about it. I think it's difficult. I mean, the truth is that all of the programs that exist are there because at some point a majority in Congress thought that they were a good idea to have exist and exist in the place where they are, or at least to maintain them where they are. And so it then becomes difficult to remove those things or change them because they all have constituencies. There's always a reason why they exist where they are. Nothing is easy when it comes to reorganization.
And finally, I wanted to ask you about shared services. This is something that the George W. Bush administration and the Barack Obama administrations both pushed pretty heavily. They used different terminology, but it was the same thing. The executive order asks agencies to look for where they can get some of the back office functions and share them or have other agencies do them. So maybe that one would be something that has legs.
I think it's, you know, it's worth taking a look at where agencies themselves need to perform all their own back office staffs and where they can be centralized or shared between or among different agencies. And I guess I would, you know, as federal executives will have to think, you know, what are the costs and benefits of giving up control of those immediately in-house and using somebody else to provide those services for us? In some cases, it can improve efficiencies. In other cases, it just makes things more difficult for managers on the ground.
David Lewis is professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. As always, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Find links to this interview and to all of our budget and first 100 days coverage at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.